Welcome to GoToGal, episode number 138. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and today we're going to talk about mindset. Now, that's not unusual. I love talking about mindset, and it's something we do a lot here on the GoToGal podcast. But today we're going to talk about it from a different perspective. Our guest today comes at it from a different angle, and I've been really excited to share her with you. Now, Hillary and I were in a mastermind together last year, earlier this year, and I got to meet her in person back in February when I was able to go into in-person events. So glad I had that experience. And she was really able to help me. I'll share with you real quick that when I went to this in-person mastermind event, I uncovered some big things that were holding me back or that I just had never even thought about before in terms of my mindset. And it was a huge breakthrough, right? And having that experience. And then I came home and back to the regular, right? I'm like, what do I even say? But back to work and kids and COVID starting to really become a big topic in early March. And I had kind of this open wound still, if you will. And it was really affecting me. And I felt this, I don't know if it's, I think open wound is probably just the best way to describe it. I was able to still go about doing things, but felt like something was holding me back that I needed closure on that experience of like, okay, what's next? Or like, I brought it up to the surface, but now what? And the typical tools that I use for mindset were just not working. And I just felt this block. And Hillary was, I was able to have a session with Hillary and do something that I've never experienced before and even felt a little bit strange during the experience of like, what is this? Is it going to work? But it was like this complete out-of-body experience and I really did heal from it and I really did feel that transformation after it. And I'm like, Hillary, I do not fully understand what you do, but I want to understand more of it. I gotten so much out of being in a mastermind alongside her and hearing her, you know, insight and tips and ideas from that. But having that one-on-one session was truly transformational for me. And so I've been excited to share her with you and for many, many reasons. And I know that, listen, mindset is something that is part of the journey for forever. I actually like to look at it as a positive. The times that I'm not having any mindset issues are typically the times that I've gotten too comfortable, that I'm not pushing myself to grow, and is a good reminder of, okay, Jacqueline, like, let's not just rest back on our laurels here, whatever the laurels are, like, let's jump into action and stretch and grow. And that's when mindset stuff tends to bubble up to the surface, but it really is that litmus test and catalyst for growth, at least for me. So learning how to identify it and work through it has been instrumental in my growth over the years, and I know will be going forward. And knowing Hillary and her and this different approach and all these ideas is just, it feels like adding another tool in my tool belt. So excited to introduce you to Hillary today. And at the end, towards the end, she shares this super simple tip to implement. It's something that I have started implementing in the last couple weeks, and I've been shocked at how well that it works. So definitely listen for that very simple, completely free tip to implement towards the end, and cannot wait to hear how it helps you on your mindset journey. All right, before we dive in, I want to formally introduce you to Hillary Porta. Leaving behind a successful career as a corporate strategist, Hillary has spent the last decade diving deep into neuroscience, neurolinguistic programming, cognitive behavior, industrial psychology, theology, and advanced psych-K to help people rewire the software in their minds so that they can experience radical growth in their personal lives and relationships. If you've ever felt like the typical mindset stuff just doesn't work, or maybe has worked for some things but not for others, this episode, this conversation is for you. So without further ado, here is Hillary, and there is Louie. Well, I'm going to go take care of Lou, and here we go. Hillary, I'm so excited to have you here today.
I'm the one that's really excited. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Yes. And I will say, I just love your voice. And we're on a podcast, so that does have its advantages too. But whether we're talking on Zoom or in person or watching one of your lives, like, you just have one of those voices that I'm so drawn to. So,
well, you know, I really appreciate that. What's really so funny is when I lived in London for a few years, and of course everybody over there wanted to hear me speak, right? Because I'm very Southern. And what's really interesting is I wanted to hear them speak because I really wanted to learn their dialect much better than mine. But, you know, mine just kind of stuck with me.
Oh, well, I'm so glad it did. All right. Well, before we get too off track and before we talk about you and all of the amazingness that you're up to now, take us back to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
Oh my gosh. You know, the first thing that just pops in my brain is, remember in Peanuts, right? There's Lucy and she hangs the 5 cent and everybody comes to her with, you know, with their, I guess their deepest and darkest secrets and their, you know, their needs and, you know, to get an answer for them. And so that's really what I was known for. I was always the one that was always there for everybody, I guess, always dependable, always for some reason had the answer. I don't know how, you know, some of these things are just so mysterious, but yeah, I just did. So it was, I started at a young age being Lucy.
It does not surprise me at all. So knowing that, fast forward to today, what do you do and who do you help?
Oh my goodness. Well, I am, I've got a lot of titles. It's really funny. I'm a mindset expert, and I'm a generational shifter. I'm something called a shame slayer, which I'm very proud of, and a Psych-K advanced practitioner. And so I get to really help people create the life they want. And, I was a business coach previously, and one of the things that, you know, I cut my teeth in strategy years and years ago in corporate, running global initiatives and things of that nature, and managing, you know, a widespread team, but on an international scale. But, you know, it's really funny. I can do strategy in my sleep and I love it, right? So I'm that girl. You know, I can walk in anywhere and boom, I just can hit it with a strategy and a framework. But one of the things I started noticing early on when I went into my own private practice was that I was making people really rich, right? I was making them have mid 6-figure and 7-figure businesses and practices. And while that's all well and good, right? That's exciting stuff. What I noticed was that the relationships were taking a deep dive. And, you know, so yeah, because people were so hyper-focused because they were, you know, they were really planning the work, working their plan. They were getting it all done and getting all excited and pushing their needle forward. But so I stepped back from that, not wanting to be a part of that part anymore. And so I took a really deep dive, right? Like huge deep dive into neuroscience, NLP, cognitive behavioral, I mean, industrial psychology, you name it, right? I mean, metaphysical anatomy, I mean, boom, you name it. And I was all over it. And because I was really wanting to really connect that human component and the relationship component, right? And so now I address the whole person and help them. So my real title, right, is actually the life architect, because I help them create a life and a business that can really, really just bring about complete joy and real abundance in all areas, not just the financial one, right, but in all areas. So that's kind of, in a nutshell,
true.
What I get to do. I get to play.
Yes, you do. I do. Well, and what you do is so fascinating to me. There's obviously many different facets of what you do, but the one piece that I just find so the most intriguing to me is this Psych-K part of what you do.
Yeah.
So tell us what that is, and how did you even come to discover that such a thing existed?
Okay, so Psych-K is one of these things that I wish that I would have known 10, 15, 20 years ago, right? It's, I've only, you know, begun to get really in the advanced and master stage in the last couple of years and really love it. It's really a modality that I use in my practice. And it is, it's a tool that you can actually flip. I call it flipping the script, right? But you can recode your subconscious Okay. And I know everybody kind of sits on that for me and goes, oh, what does that mean? What are you going to do to me? Right. It's not a do.
Right.
It's not a do to you. It's a do with you. And that's a whole different thing. And it's not, hypnosis or anything like that. It actually just literally recodes over the limiting beliefs that we have. And, you know, people spend years and years in therapy and come to me in about, 30, 45 minutes, we've really kind of recoded over some of those really deep limiting beliefs that have really kept them playing small and, holding them back. And so it's a beautiful, beautiful modality. Like I said, I kind of wish I had it. I wish I would have had it years ago. So, but it is wonderful. And I love it so much too, because it can have such a generational impact. Right. And that's a huge.
So what does that mean? How does this have a generational impact?
Well, if you think about it, everything that we learn, like that's really kind of embedded right into our subconscious is from the early on years, right until we're about 7. And our subconscious is really cool, right? It's just data. It's like this supercomputer and it's completely data. And so, it documents everything. And so those become our beliefs and our belief systems. And so a lot of people come to me with the scarcity mentality about, money, and they're just like, oh, I'll never earn X, or I'll never have that house, that boat, that, you name it, you can fill in the blank here. And so if you can connect the dots and trace it back, it's, that early programming that they heard from their parents, right? They were like, oh, well, we're not those kind of people. Those are the haves. We're the have nots, unfortunately. It's just not, what we have, or you're never going to get that. So don't worry about that. Let's just kind of try to go for something, reliable. There's all these hidden things, or even it could be as simple as, oh, that's just too expensive. But it becomes really embedded, right? And so everything that we, that's why there's so many lottery winners, right? That end up either committing suicide or going broke right after, because, mentally they've been programmed the other way. And so they can't handle it. So
true.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating.
It is. So because this is a podcast, we can only talk so much about what you do because it's so interactive and it's different, but just what does... How do you just, because I could try to describe it, but I am not going to do it justice. And I won't, but how does it work? Right.
Yeah.
Cause it seems it's like, okay, this makes sense. Like maybe like, what are some things maybe that people try that don't work that then they're like, okay, I need something like this where I need to recode and tap in that way. But what is it actually?
What are you doing? Right. Like, what are you doing? Right.
How does that happen?
It's like, that's that secret question, right? It's just, Psych-K is really just a set of protocols, based in neuroscience. It's steeped, that really integrates, I guess, the psychological and the scientific and the spiritual principles all together. And it's this whole powerful framework that you can really connect, both sides of your brain and activate it. So then you can plop in a new belief. Right. And then there we go. We lock it in. It's literally like, clicking file save as a document and boom, then we have that new belief that with which we can, kind of take our lives to the next level about. So it's fascinating. I mean, I was actually on a podcast a few months ago, with a French journalist, and he actually stopped the podcast. And, it turns out his 14-year-old daughter was in a wheelchair. And it was one of those things. I mean, it was a very emotional conversation that we had. And he was like, can you fix her? And I said, well, hey, we can let's give it a spin, right? I mean, they'd already spent tens of thousands of dollars trying to, figure this out. Why is my 14-year-old daughter in a wheelchair all of a sudden? She can't walk and it's just everything. And so after about an hour, we broke through on some really big things that she was dealing with, and we recoded literally, and she got up, walked downstairs, and I think he just about dropped, his teeth. And then they went skiing about 3 days later. And so he sent me pictures of her on the slopes, and he was like, you've given me back my daughter. And I'm like, no, everything that you need is you have inside yourself. I just got to be, really I had the honor and the privilege of walking in that sacred space with her. And that's what it was. It was really amazing. So, I mean, everything from people say they've got ADHD to they're not going to have money, or they're not going to get this next promotion, or they're never going to be able to lose weight, or they're never going to be loved, or they're never going to be enough. They're never, ever, ever, right? So it just repatterns, right? It gives us a chance to kind of go into that frontal cortex and make some changes. So it's really beautiful. And I love it. It's so fun to do.
Oh, well, and we, and I got to be on the receiving end of it. Hillary and I did a session together, and I can't even really put words to it, but it was so transformational for me. And it really did. It was like this full body, like this out of body experience almost. Yeah. I can't really, like I said, I can't even put words to it. I'm like, I could feel this energy shift and it was really powerful. And so, yes, I'm just very fascinated with what you're very impressed with everything.
Oh,
you do
well,
there.
You know, I just love doing that with you. It was really, for you to be able to, I guess, see it firsthand, see it, feel it, experience it. You know, those are the things that, that really matter. And, you were able to get free to some things. And, that's when, you say it's a transformational experience. It's true, because it creates radical. And that, I guess that's the word I want to use. It really creates radical, permanent changes for your life, right? And, then you can use everything that was holding you back. Now it's just an on-ramp. Now it's like, bring it, baby. Here we're going. Let's put a 5-point harness on. We're going now. All right. We don't have to be held back anymore. And that's the beautiful thing.
Yes. Okay. So let's back up before this how do people even figure out that they have something holding them back? Like, how does that even come up? How do you see that with your clients? If you're unaware, if you're like, I'm trying to do this and it isn't working, or if that belief is so strong of I can never, what's the first step to even figuring out that there is a block there? Like, is that the step? Is that you say I can never? Like,
what? Sure, yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm saying this.
So, I have about 50,000, of course, are popping in my mind right and left about all the examples I could use. One of them was a client who, every few sentences he was talking about, oh, well, my ADHD, well, it's just because of my ADHD. And so there was always this thing that was tied back to the quote ADHD. And I said, you must really like that. He was like, no, because I hate it. It's killing me. And I said, I said, well, do you want rid of that? And he said, what are you talking about? He goes, my doctor said, my doctor diagnosed me with it. And I used to even be on medication. And I said, okay. I said, do you want rid of it? Really gently. Cause some of this stuff is a little, it's energy work. And some people get a little bit like, oh my gosh, what are you going to do with, going to do to me? And I said, no, hey, listen, give me about, 20, 30 minutes and let's recode. He goes, I'm down for anything that will make me be able to focus, right? Because that was his biggest Achilles heel at this point. I mean, he could have really been 10 miles down the road, from where he was in his business as well as his personal life, if he didn't believe that he had this, this ADHD situation. So we did the Psych-K together, which was beautiful. And we balanced his brain and kind of recoded. And it was, what was so interesting was immediately he said, oh my gosh, I feel so different. He goes, what is this? And I said, what are you experiencing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not in your body. Tell me what's going on. And he goes, like, I'm so calm. I don't feel like I have like ants running through my veins or anything. Mm. And he was like, this is weird. I said, hey man, no, this is what's called being able to be calm and focused. And it was so funny. I would touch base with him, every week or more for about 6 or 7 weeks. And he was just like, you just have no idea. He goes, I am so focused and calm. He goes, this is weird. Because he had become so accustomed to dealing with that. So, yeah. And so, let me just break it down to you the easiest way I know possible. So I had this golden retriever. It was the best dog in the whole wide world. And every time that I would let it go outside, we have this back garden. It's just really, it's really big. It's beautiful, but it has a split rail fence that you can kind of see through. And so my neighbor's dog would go out as well. And every time they were out together, they would just run that fence. I mean, like run that fence and bark, 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 bark. Who knows what they were talking about, but they were talking something big, right? Because they would just run up and down it, up and down it. And over time, guess what? The yard started getting this really big ditch in it. And so, yeah, right. Okay. So then, whenever I would let him out, even if my neighbor's dog was not out, where would he go?
To that back fence.
There you go. He went to the fence and he fell in the ditch. You're just like, here we go. So that's what happens when we tell ourselves these lies about ourselves, like I must not be worth enough. They rejected me, or maybe, I'm not going to get that promotion because maybe I'm just not as smart, or, I'm not as good, or maybe I'm not gonna, be selected for what? You can name a million different what ifs. And that's the thing with the limiting beliefs, right? And so when you start to understand that, it's because you've talked them into yourself so much that they become hardwired into your subconscious, right? And like I said, your subconscious, man, is a big supercomputer. It's data. It has no emotions. It honestly doesn't give a rat's bottom. I'm a set of rude words, did really good. You should be very proud of me. But, that's just the truth. I mean, it really doesn't care. It's just data driven. And so when we can go in there, identify what the block is and recode over it, boom, we're good. And then we're off and running, whether that's in, something to do with your finances or your business or your relationships, your life. I mean, I have a lot of different clients in so many different ecosystems. I mean, everything from motorsports professionals and, NFL guys. I mean, special ops people. I've got celebs. I've got all kinds of, CEOs like yourself. I've got so many different ones, and everybody has a lot of commonalities too, right? And so when we hit those things, and it's just like, man, we can really unleash it and just let then their zone of genius just happen and really start honing those core capabilities and competencies. And it's just beautiful to watch it, unfold. So.
I have so many questions for you. Do you find that most, so for most of us, we have many of these beliefs, right? It's not just one. So is this
Oh,
something
yeah.
that becomes an ongoing practice, almost like you would go to therapy, or is this something someone could do for themselves? Do they have to do this with you or with someone who has, a similar training to you? Like, how does that, how, yeah.
Yeah, it's because it's a set of protocols. I mean, I went through very intensive, really intensive trainings and certification processes. So it's not something that just the everyday Joe can go do. It's something you would have to really go and get, take the courses and really get, and not only the coursework is fantastic and phenomenal, but it's really the on the ground training and really learning to fine tune, that process and the protocols and really match them with, just with their client. So yeah, it's not something that just every JJO could do. I wish like I said, I wish I would have learned this 10 years ago, girl. It would have been
Right.
fantastic. So
For sure.
yeah.
Okay. So since we can't do this on ourselves and we can't call you up every time we necessarily, or maybe some of us can, but
Yeah,
every time,
you can. Hey, absolutely.
what are some of the habits that we can create that can help for either times in between sessions like this, or for someone who's not quite ready to take that step? What are some things we can be doing to hack our brain, if you will, right?
Sure.
Like, once we realize the power of our brain and how it's maybe not helping us in some ways, how can we use that to our advantage to help us through?
Well, you're either sharpening or you're sabotaging. I mean, that's just the way, that's just the truth. You really are. And,
How do you know when you're sharpening or sabotaging? I love
well,
this
because
contrast
it's
there.
actually really easy, and most people can't believe it, but it's how you feel. Okay. Right. And I know everybody's like, well, that's too simple. Why we need to over intellectualize this, right? But it's really true. You have to get so dialed in. I guess one of the biggest things is you have to gain deep clarity about yourself. You got to know yourself. I mean, Aristotle said it, Socrates said it, everybody in the world has said it. You got to know yourself. And knowing yourself gets pulling back the curtain, getting the deep clarity, understanding some trends and, patterns of behavior that you have, that if you can go back and kind of look and connect the dots, right? And see what's been going on and what are repetitive themes. And then if you can dissect that, I call it deconstructing, right? Because we want to deconstruct that, take it apart and figure out why. Give you a really good example, and maybe this will kind of help, help you with the processing of it. So one of my clients, amazing, amazing woman. I mean, C level, just so accomplished. I mean, so impressive, really. she called me from a bathroom stall, right? And she was in Spain. And she was boohoo crying. I'm talking nasty. You know, it's not just a little sniffle. We're talking on the floor in the bathroom stall. And she was due to go out on stage. Yeah, on stage in 2 hours.
Goodness. Oh,
and you know, Jesus. You and I both know we've done that before. We've been on stage so many times, it's not even funny. So you know that red note thing, you're going to put a lot of concealer on. You know. And she called me and she's in a panic. And she goes, oh my God, it's happening again. She goes, it's my evil stepmother again. And I said, okay, what's going on? Let's really just deconstruct this thing, right? Once and for all. And because she had previously touched on a little bit of things just that her stepmother had, you know, just really rubbed her wrong a few times and things like that. And so she never felt like she was good enough and she could never get her, her approval, right? And it was causing a lot of, you know, challenges and it was actually bleeding over. Let's just say it truthfully, it was bleeding over into all of her relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, let's actually deconstruct it. So, you know, that this is the situation that continues to rise up. So what do you know about her? Right. What do you know about your stepmother? And then she started naming some things off and I said, okay, so how was she brought up? You know, you start asking, literally you've peeled back, you know, the layers there. And it's like, how was she brought up? And she said, well, her mother was very critical. And I said, oh, bingo. Okay. So this is how she believes that she's showing love, is being very critical of you. Cause you know, she comments on what she looks like, what she doesn't look like, you know, if she's gained a few pounds or she's not wearing the right shoes or, you know, she could possibly use a touch up or whatever, you know what I mean? And so she was just hypercritical of her. She said, I'm just never going to be enough and I've got to go out on stage and I'm just not enough. Boom. So you deconstruct it, you figure out where it's coming from. So then at that point, what we do is we reconstruct and recalibrate. I love these words because they're so, so incredibly important. But what you do when you're trying to recalibrate is that you throw truth at it. And that's where the deep clarity comes from. And that's where doing the work, right, as I call it, the deep work, comes into play. Because if you gain deep clarity and you know what your strengths are, you know what are the things that are going to cause you to go sideways, and you fall in love deeply with yourself, you become so powerful, right? And you don't easily get knocked off your game and go sideways. And so as we were going through the truths, you know, she had a really great relationship with her husband. She had great community relationships. She, you know, she was career-wise, she was just off the charts, right? Her children loved her deeply. So then she realized, oh God, okay. So I was basing my whole unworthiness and unlovability on what this woman was saying, but it was not really true. And then to take it a step further, I said, you've got a choice now, right? I mean, this is so powerful because when you kind of deconstruct it, right? And then you're recalibrating because you're learning. And then what you say is, okay, you've got a choice, right? You have a choice to believe what you know is true about yourself and then look at that person. Now you have two ways of handling it. You can just go about your merry way and just know that's just how she is, right? And that's what most people opt for, right? Because it's easier. It pisses them off, okay? Let's be honest. It pisses them off. Yes. And it causes them to have a little angst. But for the most part, they kind of go on with their lives. But anytime they have to have interaction, there we go again. That cognitive dissonance happens and you feel nasty and mean and sad and frustrated and resentful all in one. And so I said, so you won't keep repeating that pattern. I call it the wash, rinse, and repeat pattern. I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you show up with vulnerability, with courage, and have that conversation with her? Because most people don't know what they don't know what they don't know. And I bet you $100 right here and now that she doesn't know that she's hurting you. Because I bet you, because this is the way she was programmed. There you go. She was programmed from her own mother that that's what you do, that that's how you speak at people and to people. So she just, it was a learned behavior. And so she was taking it to her now stepdaughter, who was this amazing woman who she was making her feel really very small. And so she said, that's the worst thing in the world. I can't do that. And I said,
right, that sounds so scary.
Yes, you can. I know, right? But I said, yes, you can, because what's scarier? To have that one conversation and be vulnerable and open and show up like that with serious emotional intelligence and possibly bring about real relationship or wash, rinse, and repeating. She goes, I hate you, but I love you, but I hate you. And so she dried her nose. You know, we got her in shape, right, for her speaking, which she crushed it, and it was wonderful. And she, you know, sent me the pictures afterwards. It was wonderful. And then a week later, she calls me crying again. And I'm going, oh my gosh, are we wash, rinsing, and repeating? And she said, no, 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 you're never going to believe it. I did what you told me because I was more afraid of you. I said, oh my gosh, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, right? And she said, I did exactly like you told me to, because I had coached her through a scenario, you know, how expect some defensiveness, expect this, expect this, and here's how you maneuver and navigate around it. She said, when I touched my stepmother's arm and told her, hey, I know that you love me and that you know that you don't know what you're coming across, but you're wounded me deeply, but I love you and I want to have a real relationship and I want to break this generational crap. She said, I about pooped my pants, right? And I was like, yeah, I get it, man. I've had conversations, the tough conversations. And she said, after the defensiveness was over, she immediately cried because she realized that she didn't know what she didn't know.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm saying the generational impact can come in, because now, guess what? She didn't have to treat her daughters that same way, because mm-hmm. that's what demonstrated and passed down. Does that make any sense?
It does. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. Now, what about for the person who's like, okay, I want all of that, but they're in that moment, the crying before going on stage or whatever it is, right?
Oh, yeah.
And they don't have the clarity that it's the stepmom, right? Like, so because this was a client of yours, I'm sure you guys had done work and had discovered that some of those things had come from that relationship, right? And that interaction.
Not until but that for, day.
It wasn't until that day. Oh, okay. I misinterpreted. No. So what are some of the prompts for someone that isn't connecting those dots of maybe they're in that moment and they're having an anxiety attack, or
absolutely.
they're getting in their head or whatever it is.
Yeah.
How do they walk back to figure out where it's coming from? Is there a way to do that?
Well, for me, if I'm not live on a call with them, right. Because I tend to just use this modality, right. In my practice and, you know, in my coaching practice. But I also use it as a separate, you know, in my other private practice as well. You know, I have an intake form that asks a whole bunch of questions that really, again, helps to deconstruct and drill down and to get to those moments. And so it's wondering, it's really, like I said, it's taking a step back and going, okay, why do I feel this way? What's triggering me? Because triggers are trainers, right? They're valuable information. So whenever you get a trigger and something triggers you, golly, right? Like it stings. I mean, it's like a launched rocket that comes right at you and you're like, okay, I'm like a hole in me right now. Right. And so then you get twitchy, as I call it, and things like that. So immediately write down what was happening, right? Because we want to know, hey, what triggered this? Right. Cause sometimes you won't even know. It's just, it's so embedded in your subconscious. It's like you get in your car to go drive to the grocery store. Do you know in 300 feet you have to turn right, and in 600 feet you have to turn left, and you have to, you know, no, you don't, you just kind of drive, right? Well, your subconscious does the same thing. So that's what's so interesting. So if you can slow your roll, right, literally slow the roll, okay. Pull on the handbrake and say, okay, this just triggered that. I'm feeling this way. Okay. Now, where did that come from? And immediately some things will pop up in your brain. Like, oh my gosh, my mom used to say that. Or my dad used to say that. Or that teacher, holy crap. She, you know, she never thought I was going to amount to anything. And she made sure that everybody in the class knew it. You know, those kinds of things. And so you're going to be able to identify where it comes from. And then that's where, honestly, it does pay. I know this sounds crazy. This is not a plug for me. This is a plug for every coach, you know, or every life architect or every K, you know, practitioner out there. It really helps to do the work, right? That deep work of clarity. Because when, like I said, when you do know yourself, not only yourself, but you do it from a professional and a personal standpoint, and there's no losing at all. Right? Because you have such deep clarity, you know exactly where you're going, what you're going to be doing, and you're laser focused on it. So again, there's some things that, you know, I would love to say, hey, it's as easy as step one, two, three. Then, you know, of course there wouldn't be, I don't know, 27,000 books written about it. And
if it was so only that easy,
yeah,
it would be but great. I appreciate you breaking down these steps for us just so we can start that process.
Yeah. Just now, slow it down and think about it and really write down what you're thinking. And another, I will say a trick that I use with my clients, and they all laugh at it at first, and then it becomes like a really valuable tool, is a hairband on your wrist. And what I know it's, you're looking at me.
I'm like, okay,
the audience, if you can see her, look at me. Oh my gosh, the looks at everything. But if you have like a hairband or a rubber band, right? And so whenever you get triggered or you get anxious or you get this or you get that, you literally pull it back and pop the living crap out of your wrist. It hurts, right? I mean, it does. I don't know if you've ever snapped yourself with a rubber band. You go, oh, God, right?
In a while.
I know, right? So what happens, though, neurologically, is that actually pain is, you know, a stimuli. And so it will actually kind of recalibrate. It'll give you a chance to, like, stop the gears for just a second. And then as you popped it, your brain kind of goes, ow, that hurt, right? But it stops that thinking pattern. And then you can consciously say, do I want to think this way?
Ooh.
Yeah. Right. And so you can start training and retraining and recoding each time. I had a client send me a picture of their wrist after 2 days, and it had, oh my gosh, it was like, I mean, it had a scab almost. It was like the beginning of a scab. They were like, I had no idea that I had this many.
Wow.
I thought about this thing so many times, it was trapping me. But every time I would snap it, and every time, and they said it went from, because I make them keep tally marks, right, the first day. And it went from literally, she was funny. She said, I had probably 45 tally marks. And to each day, it got less and less and less. And in 2 weeks, she said, I just never even gave it a second thought, because she was able to recode and reprogram, you know?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, there it is. Go, everybody, go get a rubber band, go get a hair tie. Oh, so simple and so brilliant.
It's so effective, man. It really is. Yeah. It's just catching yourself, because here's the deal. Truly, everything we do is habit. You get in good habits or you get in negative habits. And so if you can train yourself to become aware of the negative habits, then you can make a positive choice right then and right there and make a difference.
Yes. Okay. So thank you so much for sharing all of this today. How can we stay in touch with you?
Oh my gosh. Come find me everywhere, anywhere. Okay. So you can find me on my website, www.hporta.com. You can find me as The Life Architect in Instagram, and you can find me as The Life Architect in Facebook. You can find me also on Facebook on my personal page at Hillary Cutshaw Porta. Twitter, I'll be honest with you, I don't tweet very much, but I'm under there under Hillary Porta. So I need to probably up my tweets, but there we go. I'm too busy, like, you know, recoding people's mind and helping you build a, you know, sustainable life and business. So
well, we will put all of those links in the show notes too. Thank so you. They can come connect with you or find out how to work with you or any of your upcoming programs.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so, so much, Hillary.
Thank you. It was just a joy just to be, you know, get to see you again and just to be on the podcast. It's a fantastic podcast and a big fan. So thanks.
Well, right back at you. I'm a big fan of yours too. All right. Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.